AfterBuzzers, welcome to Spotlight On. Today I'm in studio with Justin Cornwell. He stars alongside Bill Paxton on the new CBS series Training Day, based on the movie of the same name. Find out what it was like doing his own fight sequences. Find out why production had to go to Target for him. All this and more coming up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Seeing that audience clapping, it makes me feel so good.
Oh, yeah.
Now, your show doesn't have an audience, so this is, like, extra special, right?
I've had that. Yeah, it's a good feeling.
It is such a good feeling. Hey, AfterBuzzers, I'm Zoe Hewitt, and today I'm in studio with Justin Cornwell of the new CBS series Training Day. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RealZoeHewitt, that's Zoe Hewitt. And sitting directly to my left is Justin. Where can we find you on social media?
You guys can find me on social media, Justin_Cornwell. That's on Instagram and on Twitter. Also, you guys can check out my music on SoundCloud.com, Justin-Michael-Cornwell. Check it out.
Absolutely. So you do a lot of things, and I'm so excited about your music, too. And so Training Day, the series just premiered last week. So exciting. What was it like after you sent in your audition tape and everything happened in a whirlwind?
It was a crazy month because I had gotten a lot of traction with casting directors on both sides of the coast. And I was seeing, you know, just so many different pieces that were coming in through pilot season and actually feeling like I was having a pilot season from Chicago, where, you know, you're kind of really disconnected from, you know, the coast out here. So it feels like you're not really in Hollywood, but you're an actor. And so I got this piece from Warner Brothers. It was for Training Day, and about 12 pages. And they said, hey, you know, we need this ASAP. They're really moving fast on this. Can you get this on tape tonight? And they sent it to me at 8:00. And I said, well, can I do it tomorrow? And they said, like, well, we can do it at 9:30 maybe before they open up at in L.A. because I'm in Chicago 3 hours ahead. And so I said, okay, let's do it. I study all night. I show up in the morning. I put it on tape. I feel pretty good about it. They sent it off to Warner Brothers 2 hours later. Just a couple hours later, get a phone call. Hey, they want to test you. They got a plane ticket for you to come to, you know, Los Angeles. You know, it's time to go. And so I said, wow, this is great. Because I had only tested one time, and it was just the week prior to that. And that was the first time I was ever in Los Angeles, the week prior to that. And coming off of just having done a test, I felt like, oh, man, I'm going to get this one, you know. And so I come to Warner Brothers on a Friday. And the very next day, I jump on a plane. And that same morning, I got off the plane and went straight to go test. And I'm testing with Warner Brothers, and we're testing for a couple hours. It's a lot of material. And right after that, you know, they come out of the room, and they're just all smiles and stuff. And they said, hey, you know, we really love you, blah, blah, blah. And then I go back to my hotel. And I think that, you know, on Monday, we have the network test where we're going to meet with CBS and kind of go through, you know, all the sides again, another 2 hours. I thought this was good. That was the easy one. Here comes the hard one. And really, they called me the next day and just like, okay, you got the job. We actually are going to go to a table read on Monday. There's no network test. And we just sent them the tape, you know. So I was just like, wow, okay. So it was a quick thing. I thought I was going back home, only packed 3 days of clothes. They already had my plane ticket going back home ready for me. So I said, okay. Then I said, well, we can go to Target and get you some underwear if you need it. I was just like, I definitely do. All right.
And so was that your first experience having a production go buy underwear for you?
Oh, my God. I mean, I wish if I could go back, I'd take advantage. But I was being like, too, like, no, all I need is underwear, guys. I really don't need much. I would have been like, and yeah, give me some pretzels. I would have went crazy if I could do it again.
If you realize the power you had at the time. Instead, it's like, please give me the show. I'll just take underwear.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really humble about it.
So how did you call your family and say, hey, I was supposed to be coming home, but surprise, I'm in L.A. and I'm not coming home?
You know, it's kind of crazy. I called my mom. I said, Mom, I got the show. I got Training Day. She goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You can pay me back.
Priorities, right?
Yeah. She's like, yo, there's no excuses now.
But you weren't familiar with the area when you moved here. And
no.
L.A. is a big city. And you guys were at Culver Studios. And I understand you actually wound up moving pretty far, not realizing, right, how far you were going to be.
Get the buzz on that one. I'll tell you what happened with me. I was like, it was about 2 weeks before we even knew if we got picked up. And I had made the decision that, you know, regardless of whether the show was going to go to series, I was going to come out in L.A. and be an L.A. actor and give it a shot. And but I had a good feeling. It was trending well in the trades. It looked like it was probably going to go. And so just maybe a week before I picked up this place, I figured out we were going to shoot at Warner Brothers. We ended up, that ended up not being the case. So I had got a place right near Warner Brothers and had to drive to Culver City every day. And if you want to drive from Culver City, which is south of Beverly Hills, if you want to drive from Culver City to to where you guys are, literally down the street from here, as where I got the place at. If you want to drive from there at 5:30 in the afternoon when I got off, that's an hour and 15 minutes. You know, every single day. And so that was kind of the hardest part for me, was getting home with enough time to study and then sleep. And because I, you know, I wasted essentially 2-3 hours every day.
Yeah, that's a lot of drive time. And if you don't realize, and, you know, if you're not familiar with L.A., we're talking about the show being Warner Brothers. You're talking about Warner Brothers. So that's the production company. It airs on CBS. Yeah. So just because a show is on a certain network doesn't mean it matches with a specific studio. And based on where studio space is available. So you wound up in Culver City at Culver Studios, which is far.
It's just far, but it's a lovely studio and has rich history, that studio. And so many really cool things that were shot there, like Hook. You know, I loved that movie when I was a growing up, that Robin Williams film, A Few Good Men, and The Matrix, and just so many. It has such a rich history, that studio, so I love being there.
Yeah, absolutely. You're in a cool spot, for sure. So what was it like at that first table read, walking in to see Bill Paxton? Now, what did you know him from? Like, for me, I loved the show Big Love, so to me, that's my closest association for him.
I remember Big Love, but when I saw Big Love, I he was already Bill Paxton to me, so I was like, oh, Bill Paxton's a preacher or something. I didn't know, a polygamist. I really wasn't even knew what a polygamist was. And I think that's how I figured it out. I watched Big Love. I was just like, Mom, that's Mormons do this.
Not all of them.
But I had already known, I think, Bill Paxton from Twister. Because, you know, I'm a 90s kid. And all those 90s movies was like, oh, man, Bill Paxton, Twister, Helen Hunt. Tie yourself to a metal rod and you can survive a tornado. I'm going to go try that. I really thought that's how you survive.
You learn a lot from TV and the movies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you learned how to really fight. So, like, maybe if something happens on the streets, you're all set. So what was it like doing your own fight sequences?
I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I've done plays where I've played boxers and I was a wrestler. And so I've had fight training. But, you know, to do it in a way where it's, you know, highly choreographed, but also shot in different angles. And then you have to, you know, play for this angle, play for that angle. And, you know, I just learned so much about on camera combat.
And so how long did you have to prepare for each fight sequence? Because this show is actually somewhat unlike the movie in a lot of ways, that you actually have a lot more action.
Yeah,
there are a lot of explosions.
This show, like the movie, I think was a very cerebral kind of experience. And this show is a very in your body, you know, just all out escape fantasy, you know, experience. But it was very quick for each fight scene. I can tell you some of the longest fight scenes I learned on the day. Because you run out of time to learn some of these fight scenes when we have to film 2 episodes in a day. I'm in episode 6, and then I got to do episode 7 in the same day. So, I mean, it's, you know, I didn't have a lot of time to meet with Jim Vickers, who was our stunt coordinator on the show. I think there was two fights. There was a fight in the pilot that we actually had a whole day of doing. We actually trained for it on the set on another day. And that's what we would do in between takes on another day of shooting. We would just kind of go over the moves and train and try to get the moves in their head. But I have done so much choreography on stage that I pick up choreography only after seeing it a few times. So I was able to jump into the fights and be right there for every fight and end up being really smooth. So it worked out for us really well.
So you've done fight choreography in plays, but was there anything that surprised you about coming and doing it on TV? Anything that was different than you anticipated?
No. It's very similar to the way that you do it on stage, because it's all about the angle and selling the punch and not punching through your opponent like you're trying to hurt them. It's you know, so it's I mean, it's almost exactly the same.
And so there's also a big sequence with your character in the pilot of, like, falling out of a window, saving a child.
Yeah.
That was not you, right? That was a stunt double.
Yeah, great guy. His name's Charles Ingram. He was my stunt guy. And on that pilot, most of the stunts that you see are me. Mm-hmm. And but he does do those stunts as well. But I'm doing a lot of stunts in the pilot, except for the me jumping out of the window was him. I did do the thing where I landed on the car, but they didn't want me to break the glass, you know, and you never know what's going to happen with that.
Oh, so how do you land on the car but not break the glass? They just had you fall from somewhere else?
Yeah, had me kind of like fall, like, you know, I jump back into it and fall on the car. And, you know, they had him kind of break the glass and actually do the fall. But he was harnessed up and, you know, safe.
Yeah. Don't try this at home. Absolutely. I mean, that's really interesting. And it makes sense. I mean, we saw you so clearly in the pilot. So it's like, that's clearly you.
Yeah. So when you see me fall, I mean, I hit the thing. But yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of movie magic, too. So, yeah.
And so what do they do with the car? Because that's a hard surface. Is there
something
crazy. Padded?
They had a, they had this crazy, no, it's a lid of a car, but they actually had this thing where it, like, from the inside was sucked down so that it looked like it caved in when you landed on it. And then the windows blew out like it was a, like there must have been some kind
of, like, the pressure
yeah,
is
ordnance in there or something, like the explosion. And so that was kind of all timed out. Okay. And so once they did that one time, they had to just switch to the car that was permanently that hood was dented in, because you can only do the explosion one time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, big stunts like that, right, where something is exploding, you only have one shot.
You only got one shot at it. You got to get it right.
And so there were a lot of big sequences in that pilot, and there are a lot more coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So did you go home with lots of bruises at night?
Oh, I went home with a lot of scrapes. You know, the thing about me is I'm pretty resilient, and I don't think I got anything more than you know, a busted, you know, lip or a cracked nail or skinned fingers and hands, you know, that kind of stuff. It wasn't, I don't think it ever got any worse than that for me, but
you sound pretty tough then.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I'd be falling on cars like, ouch, my back.
I guess we're also safe too. We got a lot of padding, we got a lot of stuff to protect us, you know. You know, we gotta get up and work the next day too, so you know, there's a lot that goes into making sure that we don't die.
Absolutely. Yeah. That wouldn't do anyone any good, really.
No.
Now I understand that Bill had just had surgery, and so in the first big sequence with him with the big foam gun, he was in a lot of pain, right?
You know, I didn't realize this. When I showed up on the pilot, he was just like, hey, you know, I got this nerve ending that's pinching me in my shoulder, my neck. And he just, you know, so he's just, you know, wielding this thing, but he's just like, just laughing through the pain. I mean, he's just such a good sport. He was such a good sport about it. He's telling me he's the most excruciating pain of his life. And, you know, I he was really a very generous actor for the condition that he was in at the time.
And when you first met him, did you, like, your character is the newbie who's sort of looking up to him. Did you feel that way a little bit on set, too? Like, here's the really experienced actor? Or did it really just feel like equals coming on?
It was exactly like that. It felt exactly like the dynamic of what they had written in the show. I felt like maybe they set that up a little bit. I'll tell you, if you watch the pilot, in the first scene where I say, hey, Detective Rourke, this is Kyle Craig, that's the first scene that me and Bill did together. And that's the first line I say to him. And so it's very, and up until that point, I had met him one other time at the table read. And so it's kind of really fresh at that moment, you know, to come up and say that to him. When it's real, I felt like I was introducing myself to him. And so I didn't have to feel like I was just playing a moment, well, you know, of not knowing this person. I truly didn't know this person. I just played that. Understanding that I was walking in a new experience, and he is this person with this pedigree and all these this legacy of all these things behind him, and so is Frank Rourke in the show. So I kind of felt like I was walking into that situation, so it felt real for me. It was good.
Absolutely. And you also have Marianne on your show, who starred for 7 years on the CBS show Without a Trace.
Without a Trace.
Another major pro there. And so was there a lot of like, woohoo, we're all together on CBS? I don't know. I feel like team bonding.
You know, you know, Marianne is so generous. She's just a lovely person to work with. If anybody gets a chance to work with her, she's just amazing because she just brings such a positive energy to sets and just has the ability to up everybody's game a little bit. And with her words, she's so generous too, because, you know, she was telling me, you know, we need a hero like you and on TV. And, you know, this is so great to see and to watch you. And that's what she was telling me during the pilot. So, I mean, I appreciate her very much.
That's really nice. When you have a pro telling you stuff like that, that's a nice way to feel good about yourself. And it's nice, I think, when people take the time to say that as well and remember, like, this is your first big show. And so you might... You know, it's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, it's nice to hear no matter what, right?
Yeah, it is.
if you've been around forever, I'm sure you want to hear stuff like that. Now, we talked about your singing a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, one of your early jobs, you did like a hip hop Shakespeare show. Is
I
that
did,
right?
Yeah.
Where you were singing, you got singing,
dancing.
This is
before Hamilton, guys.
Yeah, you were like the pre-Hamilton.
Yes.
So was it fun being able to use your music background on stage?
I feel like I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have my musical background. Because getting into that show was my first professional acting job. And then I did that show because of my music ability and my time was really great. And they said, man, we got to get this guy on the show. And then I actually went up and did a great job. Then I got in another show. And then I ended up, you know, singing on another television show, which I think really helped the casting directors get a kind of a good look at me. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting more auditions. So I felt like my musical ability has always kind of helped me, you know, into, you know, all the different things I'm doing now. So, yeah.
And I love that you're so gracious about it, that you don't mention the big show that you sang on, which is probably the biggest music show on television right now. So you had a part on Empire with Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I got to say, like, she's just the most amazing person to work with, because she just has such a great energy. I know, as I always say, everybody's amazing to work with, but I'm serious. Like, I only say that when it's true. And but I sang a song, and it was just kind of a bad song, but we, like, between takes would just be like having fun and singing and just having a ball. Yeah, I did that on Empire.
Yeah, I think she's amazing. I interviewed her once, and I told her I think she's just an absolute chameleon. I mean, to imagine, like, the different roles, like when you've seen her in Hustle and Flow and even now in Hidden Figures, it's just, she's unbelievable.
She has the Midas touch right now.
She does. Well, apparently working with her led to Midas touch for you also.
She touched me. Thanks, Taraji.
So when you got that part on Empire, were you really excited, like, hey, I get to sing? And what's funny is then your character is like, they're like, yeah, thanks, bye.
Yeah. But that's what I thought was great. It wasn't a situation where I got the job on Empire before anybody really knew what Empire was. It was the first season. It was episode 3. Mm-hmm. So it hadn't come out yet. It didn't even air for a year till after I did that. So it was kind of like, oh, let's just do this thing for this new Lee Daniels show. It has old girl from Hustle and Flow. I'm like, oh, I like her. She was in Baby Boy. I love that movie.
Like, I'm not going to turn it down.
And because even at the time when I showed up, they didn't know what it was. The writer came up to me and he was like, hey, you know, do you like the show? I mean, is this something that, you know, he was like, yeah, Mr. Strong, this is a great show. You got everybody that I like on the show. You got Terrence and you got Taraji and all this musical acting. He's like, yeah, man, it's everybody, right? This is great. And I could just feel the energy, and I never felt anything like that. Taraji was walking around, this show's going to be number one. I know it. And I'm just like, okay, if you think so, it's okay. It's not that good.
It's not that good because they sent me away, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you play also, because your character in that was playing the keyboard?
You know, I play the keyboard, but I'm not like a concert pianist or anything like that. I think, you know, I know chords and I can write music and, but I'm getting better. I think I should probably be better than I am after playing for 10 years, but, you know.
Well, you've been busy. But you have a lot of artistic endeavors in addition to the music. You also do a lot of artwork and, like, animation and
animation
drawing.
And, stuff,
and something that's really cool is that you have artwork and a plaque, right, that's in the Muhammad Ali Museum, right, in Louisville.
Louisville.
Am I saying it right? Louisville.
It's almost like you have to say Louisville and then put a bunch of marbles in your mouth, like Louisville. And then you say it, Louisville.
Louisville.
Louisville, Kentucky.
So that's a really cool spot to have some artwork. Yeah. And how did that happen?
Well, you know, when I was in high school, I was like a premier artist at my school. I was winning a bunch of like art awards, and the principal and the senior guidance counselor was like, Justin, we think you would be great if you were on this committee for the Muhammad Ali Museum. They're building this big museum and to honor Muhammad Ali, and you know, they want students to come in and be on the committee and do some outreach with the local youth and do some art and stuff like that. And so I ended up on the committee, and then I ended up in the art program that was actually painting the murals as well. And so I was doing both at the same time, and I got my name on a big plaque there, my face painted on the wall. And it was great. Muhammad Ali came through and he loved it, and it was a cool thing.
And that is really cool. And did you ever think or begin to imagine that years later you would wind up playing him on stage?
You know, I didn't even really think about it at that time. I thought art was going to be my thing. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to, you know, stick with art. And I had only done a few plays. But then when I went to college, I just realized it was after I did the mural, though. Mm-hmm. I loved doing the mural, but I just realized I don't think this is what I want to do for the next 30, 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. I have to go back to the thing that I really loved doing every single day. Like, and that was acting for me. I just loved doing it every single day. Like, I didn't get tired of it. Mm-hmm. And so I went back to that when I went to college. I majored in theater.
And so you also got to take your brother, and you guys went to dinner at Muhammad yeah. Ali's house. So although he never got to see you since he was getting sicker at that time, his family did see you on stage, but you got to go to dinner. So what was it like being invited over, and what do you talk about over dinner?
It's crazy. You know, they chose me to play Muhammad Ali, and his wife and everybody was really, they were really, really gracious and said that they loved my charisma and they really thought I had it, and they loved the fact that I was from Louisville and that I would represent it well. And his brother came out to kind of show me, you know, how he walked and talked and all this kind of stuff. And one of the guys from the news is like, hey, you know, we're having dinner. It was this big Muhammad Ali Foundation dinner that we had the night before. The next day he said, hey, we're having like a lunch, brunch or dinner kind of thing. It's like a potluck family get together. And it's just a small group. It's just going to be Muhammad and his immediate family mm-hmm. and just a couple of us, you know. But I would love for you to come and, you know, have dinner with us. I said, oh, wow, at his house. And he goes, yeah, he's got a great house over here. Just, you know, I'll come and pick you up. Just have somebody come and pick you up. And so I had my brother mm-hmm. take me over there. And I was just like, all right, I'm gonna go in there and just wait in the car. Because he had, like, security lined up out of the house. And they weren't only letting people in who were, like, on, like, you know, designated. So I walked in. I talked to everybody. And Muhammad's sitting there on the Lazy Boy just watching Law and Order and just kind of hanging out. And I'm just like, man, okay. And I'm just thinking, I start making a play. And I thought, man, my brother's in the car. I can't leave him there. This is too awesome. We're eating at Muhammad's house. And so I said, hey man, my brother's in the car. He drove me here. I really gotta let him, you know, come in. And so then there's like, of course. And I'm like, yes. And so I went out to the car. I got my brother and we sat down, and he sat right next to Muhammad, and he just like couldn't stop staring at him as he ate. It was really awkward. And I was like, dang, I should have left you in the car.
Now, how old were you at the time, and how old was your brother?
My brother's a year and a half older than me.
Oh, he's an older brother. Okay.
And this was back in 2015.
So just a couple of years ago. It wasn't that long.
And this is literally right before he started getting sick. Uh-huh. He fell with pneumonia, and then a year later he died. So yeah, I mean, it was really kind of the last. It was his last public appearance, mm-hmm. his last set of public appearances that I was with him at. So that was it. Yeah.
And you must have impressed them so much to invite you over to, like, their personal family gathering. Yeah, and I love that you asked if your brother could come join you.
I mean, you know, I felt like, you know, somebody that I know has to, like, vouch that this is real. No one's going to believe me when I say I'm just hanging out with Muhammad Ali at his house eating chicken.
So no one's going to believe me. What were some of the dishes people brought? And did you bring some food, too?
I didn't bring anything. I was out late the night. I was just trying to make it there on time. But no, his wife and his wife's sister cooked, mm-hmm. and his daughter cooked, and it was a bunch of stuff. Just a bunch. Like, they had like a whole set of just stuff. I can't even remember. It was as a home cooked meal though. Uh-huh. It was definitely home-cooked meals.
And what stuck out to you the most when you were there? Like, when you saw his house, there was security, this amazing experience. Your mind is going, oh, my God, I've got to bring my brother in. But right. Was there one thing that you remember thinking back to his house that just stands out above all else?
Man, his house was basically a museum. You know, his main house, I think, was in Arizona or Michigan. He had places in both of those areas. But that house in Louisville had become like a museum. And then when I took a tour of the house, like he had two different gyms, which he obviously didn't use anymore, and entire like rooms that were dedicated to his legacy. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a house that hadn't been lived in years and just kind of was there, but it was humongous. And you could look down at the thing and the pool, and it was just the most amazing house, just most beautiful house. But it felt like a home, but just didn't feel like anybody had lived there in a while.
So, I mean, you're talking about it like a museum. Like, can people actually tour the house?
No.
It just felt like a museum.
It just felt, because the way that it was set up, I worked at the Muhammad Ali Museum, and some of the exhibits at the museum felt like his house, the way that they were set up. Uh-huh. And his house were set up almost like he knew people who were close with him or close with the family would come in, and now they could kind of view his legacy. He had a lot of stuff that he had collected over the years there at his house. It was like a museum of time, some stuff from the Beatles, some stuff with the, you know, just, you know, this guy was an encyclopedia of world history just within his own life. So many experiences that he had kind of ties into everything in the last, you know, 60 years. So, I mean, just crazy.
That is amazing. I mean, what a cool experience. And now here you are working with Bill Paxton on a big CBS show.
Yes.
I mean, it's like cool experience after cool experience coming up.
My life has been a set of just cool experiences that just compile one another. It's amazing, you know, how lucky can one guy be. But I feel like I'm giving myself the opportunity to go for the things that I want. I remember going to the audition and thinking, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. You know, and just like having that kind of level of confidence when you have to walk into a room. And I think that's been carrying me ever since I met Muhammad Ali up until now.
Well, that's a good thing to have rub off on you, right?
I said when I shook his hand, he gave me his powers. And I was like, yes, you are the chosen one. And I set off to travel the earth.
And you set off for your new series. Well, everyone can find you on Training Day Thursday nights. And
Thursday
where
nights.
Can they find you on social media?
You can find me once again at Justin_Cornwell. And that's on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure you check me out. Send me a line. I answer. And, you know, I'm totally down to answer you back. And if you want to check out my music, which I highly suggest you should, you can check it out at soundcloud.com/Justin-Michael-Cornwell. So go ahead and check that out if you guys have time. You will.
Absolutely. And I'm Zoe Hewitt. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Real Zoe Hewitt. That's ZoeHewitt. You can also find me on YouTube at Zoe Hewitt Hosting, where I do a weekly movie analysis show. Thanks so much for joining us after Buzzers. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.